You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
So we're going through the 13th chapter of Yevamot, and we're exploring the implications of different kinds of marriages, or we could say different strengths of marriages, and the classic wedding. And the rabbis actually learn this out from Pesukim. It's not explicitly mentioned in the Pesukim, but the rabbis learn this out from Pesukim, actually, from the, for a man takes a wife, Vayikach Ish Isha, and the transaction of Avraham, when Avraham buys the, at an enormous cost, the burial plot for his wife, Sarah, who he loves very much. He hands over silver to Ephron, and he says, kach mimeni. So there are two uses of the word kach, and the rabbis learn that it's possible deraita to marry a woman by giving her an object like a ring, which is silver, similar to, I guess it's parallel with Abraham's acquisition of the land for Sarah. So there's a kind of an emotional connection there too. And this is a, if you like, a full strength Torah law marriage, even though it's by drush. And we've explained that if there are certain other marriages which the rabbis institute, but they don't have the same force. So an orphan, a minor orphan, she can't accept Kiddushin because she's a minor, and her father can't accept them for her because he's no longer alive. And the rabbis allow her mother or her brothers to marry her off, but the marriage has got only the status of derabbanan, and she can refuse before the age of majority. And similarly, the chereshet, someone who doesn't, a deaf mute, is not considered in the eyes of the rabbis to have kind of full mental and therefore legal capacity. So her marriage is valid derabbanan, but it's not considered valid to deraita. And the rabbis are exploring the boundaries of these kinds of different, or the nuances of these kinds of marriages, and what happens when they conflict. So, for example, in the ninth Mishnah, we talked about someone who was married to Ketana v'Chereshet. Someone was married to someone who was a minor and a deaf mute. So he had two wives, okay? Two wives, a minor and a deaf mute. And the Mishnah closed by saying, and he dies, by the way. I mean, in all these Mishnah, it's very sad. In all these Mishnayot, the man dies. And if the man didn't die, then there'd be no reason to talk about Yibum. So the man dies. So his two wives, the minor, the Ketana and the Chereshet, the minor and the deaf mute, both come before his brother, his surviving brother, their brother-in-law for Yibum. And the question arises, what happens if the Yavam, if the brother does Yibum with both of them? And the Mishnah brings, if you like, two examples in different orders. So he first has intercourse with the girl, the minor girl, and then with the deaf mute. Or maybe Shiba Achiv ala Charesh, or maybe he has intercourse with the minor and his brother. He has another brother who's alive. And of course, any of the brothers can, in theory, perform Yibum. His brother has intercourse with the Chereshed, with the deaf mute. And the Mishnah explains, Lo pasal et ha-ketana. The Mishnah is saying that the sexual relationship with the chereshet, with the deaf mute, doesn't annul the relationship with the minor. But the Mishnah goes on to say, if it's the other way round, if he has intercourse with the chereshet, with the deaf mute first, and then with the minor, then the sexual relationship with the minor seems to wipe out that with the deaf mute. And we couldn't understand why. But the reasoning in the Gemara seems to be that even though the marriage of the minor and the marriage of the deaf mute are both derabbanan, so neither of them are full marriages according to Torah law. somehow the marriage of the minor takes precedence. It's stickier. It's stronger. It's closer to Torah law, because there will come a point when this girl becomes of age. And if she hasn't refused, she'll be really married by Torah law. So this marriage at some point in the future is going to be a real marriage. Whereas the marriage with the deaf mute, it will always be a marriage with someone who lacks a certain amount of mental and legal capacity. And we learned really early on in the chapter, essentially, ein chalitza achar chalitza. You can't have chalitza after chalitza. Once someone's done chalitza, that's it. There's no, and the same with sexual intercourse. Once you've done chalitza or yibum, nothing else can interrupt it. But in the case of these marriages, which are kind of not full marriages, we're saying both are possible, but the one with the minor is stronger in some sense. So if the sexual relationship with the minor is first, then the relationship with the deaf mute can't cancel it out. And if it's the other way around, if the sexual relationship with the deaf mute is first, then that with a minor can cancel it out. In other words, the bond with a minor is stronger than the bond with a deaf mute. That essentially is where we left off. That's where we left off at the end of the ninth Mishnah. And as we go through the 10th and the 11th Mishnayot, we're going to see that the Mishnah is going to carry on playing around with these ideas in very, very similar patterns. This is almost like halachic poetry, but it's halachic poetry written in strict meter, because it keeps on going over the same issues. And we're going to now compare someone who is a full mental capacity with a deaf mute. Pikachat vechereshet, so one of fully sound senses. Pokeach means someone who's awake and alive, someone who's in complete control of her capacities. Pikachat vechereshet, and someone who is a deaf mute. And these are both married. The Mishnah doesn't need to explain to us, because we already know the plot. These are both married to one person, and he's died. So they've come before his brother for Yibum, and maybe there's another brother sitting in there in the background. And we know that the marriage to the wife of sound senses is a full marriage in every sense of the word. And the marriage to the deaf mute is... It's rabbinic. I mean, all marriage is rabbinic, but this one's even more rabbinic. It's not even learnt out from the Torah. So what happens? So the Yavam had intercourse first with the person of sound senses, and then with the deaf one. Or maybe his brother had intercourse afterwards with the deaf one. Or Shiba Achiv al Achareshet. Either way, the first sexual act is with the person of sound senses, and the second with the deaf mute. And the Mishnah explains, as we'd expect, lo faselet apikachat. The secondary action does not do anything to cancel out the first one. The first sexual act with the woman who had full mental capacity takes precedence. And it doesn't work, and it still takes precedence even if it happens last. So if we reverse the order of those two acts, so if he had intercourse with the deaf one first, and then with someone with full mental capacity, or maybe his brother had intercourse with the woman with full mental capacity, pasal et ha chereshet. That act of yibum just wipes out any previous relationship with the deaf mute. The deaf mute is not married by Yibum, the one of sound senses is. And similarly, as we can contrast someone of sound senses to a deaf mute, we're going to contrast an adult to a minor. And this is exactly the same Mishnah. That's why you'll see, if you look at these Mishnayot carefully in the source sheet, these are identical Mishnayot. It's just like a Shakespeare sonnet. It's got a strict, strict form. Same Mishnah, but this one is an adult and a minor. Gdola uktana, ba hayavam el gdola vechazar uva el haktana. So we have an adult and a minor. The yavam had sex with the adult and then the minor, or his brother had sex with the minor. Lo fasalet gdola. Any act with the minor doesn't cancel out the act with the adult. Because we've said a marriage with a minor, and we're assuming this must be a minor orphan. This must be a minor orphan. So because this is a marriage, if you like, derabbanan derabbanan, it's a minor orphan. Any sexual act with her can't cancel out that with the adult. Or perhaps if she's not an orphan. Perhaps what the rabbis are saying is that yibum with a minor doesn't quite have the impact that it does with an adult. And if we reverse it, we find exactly the same hierarchy of values, that the sexual act with the adult takes precedence. So the yavam had intercourse with the minor and then with the adult. Or shiba achiv ala gedola, or his brother had intercourse with the adult. Pasal et haktana, it disqualifies any relationship with the minor. This must be a minor orphan, because Rabbi Elazar is going to come along at the end and say, just parallel to Rabbi Eliezer, when we looked at a situation of a brother and a sister, one of whom was overage and one was underage. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, Mulamdim et haktana she tma enbo. The minor is to be instructed to make a direct declaration of refusal. So in other words, she's a minor, she's an orphan minor. The marriage only really kind of existed rabbinically. She can make a declaration of refusal right up until she's 12 years old. And in order to avoid this peculiar double yibum situation, in order to clarify the matter, Rabbi Elazar says, look, we get her to make a declaration of refusal, so she's no longer married. Her marriage is basically voided. So she doesn't have the status of a divorced woman. She can then marry anybody she likes. And then the adult wife, can have yibum, or of course, if she wants, she can perform chalitza.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.